It's Crystal Castillo, and I am OCBF.
I am Larry Brown, and I am OCBF.
I am Terry Pittman, and I am OCBF.
I am Aaron Watkins, and I am OCBF.
Trina Latour, and I am OCBF.
My name is Daryl Thomas, and I'm OCBF.
My name is Stevie Simmons, and I am OCBF.
My name is Ashley Jackson, and I am OCBF.
My name is Donna, and I am OCBF.
I'm Sonia Brown, and I am OCBF.
My name is Deborah Scott. I am OCBF.
My name is Tamara Hunt, and I am OCBF.
Hi there. I'm Pastor G. I'm the Associate Pastor of Fellowship, and I miss you. And I am OCBF.
What depression, discouragement, despair often brings is distorted information. Elijah is by himself. Depression gets worse if there's nobody in your life to change your thinking. See, if you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're talking to yourself, that's a bad conversation for yourself. You're already feeling sorry and there's nobody to talk to but you, about you, regarding you, to tell you what you ought to do, and you aren't in a place to even hear you correctly, then your discussion with yourself is helping yourself to become worse off about you. So God then enters the picture and tells him, Elijah, tell me how you feel. Stop talking to yourself, because when you talk to yourself, you were getting depressed, you were suicidal. Start talking to me, okay? Now I'm gonna show you the wind and the rain and all that stuff. Now y'all talk to me, because you talking to you is killing you. Since I don't want you to kill you, stop talking you to you, and y'all talk to me. God has an angel for you. He's got a person for you. He has himself for you. He gave Elijah all three of those to give him a supernatural experience to lift him out of his depression. And one of the reasons that the church exists is to have people available in your life when you are down who can embrace you, minister to you, lift you up, and he can use you to do the same thing for somebody else. Because when we are depressed, we need another perspective. That doesn't deny the reality of how we feel. But what it does is it doesn't let you live there.
Good morning, OCBF Church. We are glad to be able to do another Sunday worshiping with you. I know this looks a little different. We're just going to give you another vibe, but it's still family. It's still the same feel for everybody who is a member of OCBF. Welcome back. For everybody here who's here for the very first time globally, we want you to know that we are excited that you are here with us. We want to worship with you today, and we want you to experience God. In just a few moments, we're going to hear a new message from my dad, who has been just pumping out new messages week by week to encourage us through this time. And he's been reminding us recently that we have no need to fear and that our hope is alive. So if you believe it, say this.
When I lift my hands, something happens. My fear fades. My world changes. You're there. And when I lift my voice, sorrow traded for freedom, for love, for you. Oh, even through
Listen, I know that our church, we haven't been able to do this because we haven't been in the physical room. But what I believe that our church is so good at is making people feel welcome. Just making people feel like we're not this big monster church. So I think that we should do it this way. If you are visiting Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship for the very first time and you are on YouTube or Facebook, I want you to let our church family know in the comments that you are visiting this week for the first time. And OCBF family, let's go find somebody in those comments and do what we do at the church. Make these people feel so welcome that are visiting our church who can't necessarily get here physically, even when we're meeting together. Y'all, make them feel welcome. So y'all, first-time visitors, tell us in the comments that you're here for the first time in OCBF family. Let's do what we do so well. All right, find them right now. And I'm going to sing this chorus one more time. Here we go. My hope is alive.
My hope is alive. Oh, 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 oh.
My hope
is alive. Oh, oh, oh.
He's the light of the world. Come on, say.
He's the light of the world. He's living inside. A love that will never die. My hope is alive. Oh, 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 oh.
My hope is alive. Yeah. Let's keep it going. Come on. He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. Oh, every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. And who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Make way before the King of Kings. Come on, Oak Cliff, sing it with me. The God who comes to save.
The God who comes to save is here to save the captive free. And who can stop the Lord? Oh, who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power.
Breaks the
Lord, we are thankful for your presence in our lives. We are grateful. We are grateful for you, even in this time of chaos, may we be reminded that you fight for us and that you are here. And we ask that you would meet us here in the same way you've done week after week, year after year, showing us your plan, showing us your purpose for us. For those hearts who are home right now, God, all of us are, as the hearts that are home, but we are a part of this family, God, of believers. I pray that you remind us that you are working in our hearts and in our lives. We pray for our pastor. I pray for my dad as he juggles a lot of things in his life and his heart right now and still studies to make sure that we have a new message every week. I pray that you pray a special blessing on him and his life. And I ask you, God, that you would meet him here and that you would meet all of us here again the same way you always have. We are grateful for you, Lord God. Can't go back to the beginning. I can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle is the place where you promised to be. Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all of you. Will you meet me here again? As I walk now through the valley, let your love
rise above every fear.
Like the sun
shaping the shadow.
In my weakness,
your glory
appears. Come on, say,
I'm not enough
unless you come,
unless you come.
Try it with this thing. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Meet us here, Jesus. Meet us here, Jesus. We need you here. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Pass me not, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee.
Amen. One of my favorite portions of scripture is in 2 Chronicles. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in this passage, the king of Judah, King Jehoshaphat, is being attacked on all sides, not by one army and not by two, but by three armies who have formed an alliance against him. And that's kind of how many of us feel right now. Just kind of feel like we've got stuff coming at us from all sides. But as he's being attacked, and it says that he feels very afraid because of what's happening, it gets to about verse 12 or so of this chapter, and he says, Lord, we are powerless against this great army, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I love that verse so much. I love that prayer. Our eyes are on you. That's what exalting our God is all about. It's about taking our attention intentionally off of everything that's causing more fear and anxiety. And you know, what you concentrate on is what's going to grow. It's going to be exalted. It's going to be larger. So today, let today sort of be your reset, where you remind yourself that even though you feel powerless and even though you may have no clue what you're going to do, remember to keep your eyes on him. Again, we welcome you to Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship today online. We're so glad that you're joining us. We want to make sure that not only those who are a part of this local church, but all of you know exactly what is happening through OCBF Ministries so that you can have the opportunity to be ministered to even when we're not meeting online on Sundays in this way. So there's so many things happening in the life of our church. You get an email regularly if you're a member here at Oak Cliff, and we want to encourage you to open up that email. You've got to read the email and all the things that have been written there to just remind you of the things that are happening all week long through our church so that you can get involved. Remember, the church is not just about a Sunday morning meeting. It's never been about just having a Sunday morning meeting. It's always been about the living, breathing, pulsing body of Christ, Monday through Saturday, infiltrating the community in all walks of life and your families being affected by what we hear on these days that we have together. So I just want to tell you some of the things that are happening in our church. First of all, small groups are still meeting. So we have a lot of people that have signed up to be virtual hosts. We need more hosts. So if that's of interest to you, we used to say you had to open up your home to let people in. But now it's just opening up your virtual home to sort of host folks that are coming, that are new, that maybe haven't connected with people from our church before. And you're going to make a comfortable space for them in your online living room, okay? So if you'd like to sign up to be a host, or you already have, thank you so much. You're going to go to ocbfchurch.org/small groups, and you'll see information there. If you'd like to join a small group, we want to invite you. This is where discipleship happens. When we get inspired on a Sunday morning, discipleship then happens Monday through Saturday when we're being accountable with the people that live maybe in our family dynamic, but also with other members of the body of Christ, our sisters and brothers. And so this small group dynamic is put in place so that you can continue to grow and mature in your relationship with the Lord. Not only that, but Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship also offers something that I think is really necessary, especially in times like these. and that's counseling. If you found that you have been experiencing a heightened level of grief during this time, maybe through other losses that you've experienced. Listen, my family knows so much about that, to be honest. The last 2 years have been tough. And then on top of all of the other things that we were experiencing now, the developments through this pandemic, it's just been one thing on top of the other. And if you find yourself in a situation where, man, you are a little bit overwhelmed by all of the things that have crowded into your life, please know that counseling is available through our church. And you can find that online through our website at ocbfchurch.org/counseling. Real simple to find somebody who can be a listening ear and offer you godly advice. We also want to remind you that the turnaround agenda is in full swing. For those of you who don't know, that is the outreach ministry of our local church, and they offer so many different elements of help to people that are not only in this community but outside of it as well. Everything from public school mentoring nationally to food and financial support and technical training. And I mean, there's so many things that the Turnaround Agenda has been doing since the 1980s. So it's a faithful ministry that has been serving the body of Christ at large for a long time. But of course, right now, the needs are specific and related to COVID-19 and the new and escalated needs that have presented themselves in people's lives. We need your donations. We need your donations of food. We need your donations of financial support. And we need your prayers, like for real, not in theory, like we really need the body of Christ to show up in a big way. The Turnaround Agenda has already fed over 1,000 families, and they're going to be teaming up again on April the 27th with the North Texas Food Bank that's going to be showing up. And listen, I mean, a line of cars show up with their trunks open, ready to get the food supplies that the Turnaround Agenda is going to be able to give them and supply them so that they can support their families during this time. So I'm asking you to join with, if you've got a family dynamic that's around you, or maybe some friends of yours that you know that are a part of this church, and will y'all get together and come up with a plan about what you can give to the Turnaround Agenda this week so that the pantries are full. Come on, y'all. Let's show up and be the body of Christ in a great, big, grand way so that people can feel the love of Jesus in our community. So we're asking you to do that. And then finally, just know again that the Word of God is getting ready to go forth in just a few minutes from Dr. Tony Evans. And we want you to be prepared to hear the Word of God. So listen, if you've been multitasking and doing a whole bunch of other stuff during the first part of this service, would you prepare now to just sort of nestle in and get ready to see what it is that God is going to speak to you in just a few moments. And as you write some of these notes down and these scripture references, use them throughout the week. If you've got kids, use them throughout the week to continue to mull over them with your children, disciple them with your children. You and your spouse go over them together because this is where growth takes place. It's going to be a beautiful Sunday as we continue in the presence of God.
Well, good morning. This is Chris Will, Executive Director for the Turnaround Agenda, the Outreach Ministry at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church. As you can see, we're here again serving our community. I've just been thankful and excited about the way the church has come together. And it's just been a good combination of all of our ministries to try to make this happen. We're just thankful and delighted to be able to serve, and we recognize that the need is great. Even prior to the pandemic that we're experiencing, there's been so many people that needed food, and that's why we have a food pantry that we've been able to serve the community. We serve about 200 people a month in our food pantry. Individuals that may not have needed to have food before are losing jobs. They're having situations where they're trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And so by us being able to do just a little something to be able to help them for a couple of weeks, we're just thankful for that. Now, we know the need is going to continue. So this is not something that we want to do one or two times, but as often as we're able to work this out where we can be able to have the North Texas Food Bank, we're going to be here. So if you have a need and you need to be able to utilize our food pantry and maybe you weren't able to come to one of these events, you can actually give us a call. But again, this is for our local community. So the number is 469-567-1793. Again, 469-567-1793. We're gonna need for our church family to continue to give donations as you've already done. We've been so blessed by so many people that have come and dropped off food, and we need it to continue because we recognize, again, the need is great. And so again, on behalf of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, Turnaround Agenda, and also the vision of Dr. Tony Evans, our senior pastor, we just thank you and we pray that you have a blessed day.
It is time to continue worshiping God and worshiping God in giving. Are you excited to give? At Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, we get really excited to give because the only reason why we can give is because God has first given to us. And so all of the givers out there, you know who you are. It should be everyone, because even in a pandemic and even in a mess, God is still working out a miracle in all of our lives. And he does that through the body of Christ. And so it's time to partner with him with the resources, the gifts, time, talent, and right now the treasure that God has given us to do so. And there are several ways that you can give. The first way is you can just give by text. You can text OCBF to 797979. Text OCBF right now to 797979, and you can give that way. To all of our members, you know how you can give. You can go online to ocbfchurch.org, or you can go to the OCBF app. And we know we have a group that wants to just put it in the mailbox. You can mail OCBF at 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road. You can mail us at 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road, Dallas, Texas, 75232. We're excited, and while we're giving, while you're thinking and considering what the Lord would want you to give right now to support the Church of Jesus Christ and all of the things that we're doing in and for the community, for his glory. Now we're going to go to one of our previously recorded worship experiences with our OCBF Unity Choir. I know you'll enjoy it.
I will. Well, I thought we'd do something different this time. I've been missing my pulpit at church, so I thought I'd feel a little bit more regular today. Still in a somewhat casual environment, but I'm still behind a little pulpit here, and I can kind of feel more normal, okay? But I am glad to be able to come with you again and to challenge you during these challenging days that we're all facing. Let me ask you a question. If your health is falling apart, you're probably going to go to the doctor because you think the doctor can help you get it back together again. If your house is falling apart, you're going to call a repair person to kind of come and fix what's broken. If your car is making all kind of noise, that means you need a mechanic, somebody who knows what they're doing, who can bring resolution to your car dilemma. If your clothes are tattered and torn, you're going to go to a tailor to kind of put it back together again. If you're not doing well in school and the grades are falling, then you got to go to a tutor to help you learn what you need to learn so you can pass what you need to pass. But what do you do when your world is falling apart? When your nation is in trouble? What do you do when you've hit a crisis so big that you have nowhere to go? What do you do when all human options have disappeared on you? And no matter which direction you look in, north, south, east, west, the answers are difficult and everybody's trying a lot of things, but nobody has a definitive answer. And it's not only affecting you and your family, it's affecting your neighborhood, your church, your nation, and the whole world. Well, that's what Corona is, isn't it? It's a pandemic, which means it's a national and international negative crisis. A crisis is a situation that overwhelms you. Crisis can come in a whole lot of forms. There can be economic crisis. We know what that's like due to Corona. There can be a relational crisis. There can be social crises. There can be career crisis. Crisis can come in all kinds of shapes and forms and sizes. One thing is true, though, it is overwhelming. It can bring tears to your eyes. It can cause you to be disconcerted emotionally. What do you do when there's nothing you know that you can do? Well, that's why I love 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It is the story of King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat has a problem on his hands. It's a problem that has affected his whole nation. He says in verse 2, a great multitude is coming against us. He looks out and he says, every direction that I look, and he names them. He says, every direction they're coming against us and they're closing us in. He is in a predicament, a dilemma. He's in a crisis. He says that this crisis is hitting him in every direction. And you pretty much know when you've hit that kind of crisis because your emotions begin to take charge. Because verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20 says, Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was scared. He was terrorized because this was a problem he didn't know how to fix. This was an enemy he didn't know what to do with. This was his own corona, a problem too big for him to handle. We're told that in the midst of this problem, he turned his eyes to seek the Lord. That's what verse 3 says. He looked up because nowhere looking out could solve his problem. Right now, we're seeing more people talk about God, talk about faith, talk about religion, talk about Jesus. quoting scriptures on newscasts. And yeah, there are those detractors out there, but it's pretty clear we're in a dilemma that is a little bigger than us. And even if it wasn't this corona, so many of us have our personal coronas, don't we? The viruses that have messed up our lives. He sought the Lord. He wanted to bring God into the equation of his dilemma. You know you're in a crisis that you can't fix when the harder you try, the deeper down you go, like quicksand. You know, the harder you try to get out of quicksand, the more it sucks you under. That's what a dilemma does that is a pandemic kind of crisis in your life and in your world. Well, that's Jehoshaphat's problem. What he decides to do is turn to the Lord and get everybody else to do it too, because verse 4 says, he gathered together to seek help from the Lord, and they even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. In fact, we're told in verse 3, he proclaims a national fast. You know, that's what we need today. We need to call our whole nation to a fast and prayer. Not just prayer, but a fast. Let me say a word about fasting. Fasting is a Bunsen burner underneath prayer. Fasting is giving up something physical to gain something spiritual. See, most people visit the spiritual while we live and are controlled by the physical. But what fasting does is it shifts that. It says right now the spiritual is more important than the physical. Heaven is more important than earth because I can't fix earth with earth because my problem is too big. I need the unseen world to enter to the seen world to affect my dilemma, my crisis. So he calls a fast. Right now, everybody should fast. You should pick up a meal a week, a day a week, where you leave the smart devices, you cut off the television. You walk away from a meal and you say, God, we are crying out to you now for ourselves, our families, our churches, and our nation, because we're all in trouble. And we're crying out to you. This is so big and so bad that we're willing to give up something to gain something more, and that is to gain you in the middle of our pain, uncertainty, sickness, and death from an unseen enemy. Now, before we go any further, I need to tell you something. If you want God to do something about the problem in chapter 20, you have to address something in chapter 19. You see, in chapter 19, King Jehoshaphat got all the nation to get right with God. It says in chapter 19, verse 4, that King Jehoshaphat brought the nation back to the Lord, to the God of their fathers. You see, being right with God is a prerequisite to hearing from God. You can fast and pray all day, but if you refuse to get right with the one you're talking to, then you have no guarantee he's going to respond, because he doesn't want to respond so you can leave him out more, so that you can ignore him more, so you can say a prayer to get out of it and then skip him. So they got right first, and then they sought the Lord. We're in trouble. And even before this dilemma, we see all kind of trouble in our nation, political, class, race, you know, all that's kind of become secondary to this bigger problem. But we've had a lot of problems that we need solutions for. But that starts with God going Godward. And so he calls everybody. In fact, verse 13 says that they even brought their children along with their wives, which means the men went front and center. They brought their wives, they brought their children. In other words, everybody in on this, because this thing affects all of us. If this invasion hits us, everybody's going to be destroyed, Jehoshaphat said. And we're seeing with this coronavirus, it can hit any of us, and it can be deadly with a blow. And so everybody got on board. That's why we want our church in Dallas to at least find some time every week and maybe a portion of every day to call you to a fast, to tell the children, no, not now. We're going to take 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever works. We're going to give up meat today, or we're going to give up a television for this period of time, and we're going to talk to each other. We're going to talk to God, because we want our family protected from this virus, and we want our nation to be healed of it, and we want our medical experts to find a solution to it. So let's cry out to God. It's called a solemn assembly in Scripture, a sacred gathering where people were called to invoke on heaven because history was in trouble. And so he calls on them. He makes a statement in verse 12. He says, the reason that we're calling on you is we don't know what to do, and our eyes are on you. Ah, you don't know what to do, huh? This is outside of your control. See, we like to be in control. We like to be able to handle stuff. Well, God will let you know how bad you need him by allowing things in your life and my life and our lives collectively that we can't fix on our own. He says, we don't know what to do, and I'm not too proud to beg. I'm going to be humble with this thing. He prays a prayer beginning in verse 5. Let me tell you the ingredients of this prayer. You start your praise with a prayer. He starts his prayer by rehearsing God's person and then graduating to God's power. Let me say that again. He starts his prayer by rehearsing God's person, then graduating to God's power. He tells God how great he is, how awesome he is. He tells God that he rules from heaven. He tells God that he rules over all the kingdoms. It is good to know that there's no problem on earth so big that God can't overrule it. He tells God that the enemy coming at him is no competition for the God of the universe. So he brags on God's person, and then he talks about God's power. That's what you want. Don't just ask for his power and skip his person, because his power is tied to his character. You want to know what he is like in order to get what he can do. So he brags on God, makes a big deal about God because he got a big virus, a big invasion that he needs to be able to address. And everybody was with him because that's how big the problem was. From the outhouse to the White House, everybody should be dropping on their knees, ideally at the same time, so he can hear all the voices calling down heaven in history and calling on God to invade this dilemma that we face. After his prayer, he got a prophetic word. It says God heard what he had to say, and he called a prophet, and he called the prophet in verse 14. He said, if you listen to the prophet, verse 20, you will succeed. You know, right now we need a word from God. Let me tell you about the prophet. The prophet was not a particularly popular person because they usually showed up during times of calamity and difficulty, often with negative things to say, but always with a positive goal in saying it, to get right with God so that things could be reversed, so that deliverance could take place, so that the agenda could be changed. And so you want a prophetic word. We call that a rhema word. Let me give you a few Greek words here that will help you understand the rhema word. There is the graphe. The graphe is the book. It is, as it sits on your shelf or on your coffee table, it is the written, recorded word of God. That's the graphe. Then there is the logos. The logos is the content and meaning of the graphe. So you could never even open the Bible, but it would still be the Bible because it is the written word of God. But the logos is what it says and what it means by what it says. That's why Jesus Christ, by the way, is called the logos of God in John 1:1, because he came to explain the Father to us. So it is the content and its meaning. That's the logos. But then there is the rhema word. The rhema word is the specific utterance into your specific situation. You need a rhema word because you got a real dilemma, a real problem. A rhema word is not a general word. It's not even a sermon. Because a sermon can be one word for everybody. A rhema word is God's word to you. They're in a dilemma and they need a rhema word, which is a prophetic word. He says, if you'll listen to the prophet, now just because somebody preaches don't mean they're the prophet. They've got to be consistent with the written word and with the living word before it can even be considered to be a prophetic word. So if the rhema word is not consistent with the living word and the written word, it in fact is not a rhema word, and that's a false prophet. But he does give his applicational words to specific scenarios to the prophetic voice today. That's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, despise not prophecy. I know we're listening to the medical experts, we're listening to our political leaders, but we ought to be listening for a word from God. And the more of those people that you can get to listen for God, the sooner we can get solutions to the dilemmas that we face. Even in your personal life, you want to listen for a prophetic word. It may come through your pastor. It may come through another believer who has the gift. But you want to listen to a word that speaks into your specific reality. After they prayed, God brought a prophet. And then it was time for a praise. Look at how much praise goes on in this chapter without the problem yet being solved. It says in verse 18, they fell down before the Lord and worshiped him. They say in verse 19, they stood up to praise the Lord. They say in verse 21, they sang to the Lord, those who praised him in holy attire. It says in verse 22, when they began singing and praising, the Lord set an ambush. In other words, praise made the difference. They had a problem, a virus they couldn't fix, an invasion they couldn't overcome. That led to a prayer. The prayer opened the door for a prophet. And then it was time to get your praise on. Let me talk about praise. Praise is accentuating and expressing value to God. You can worship privately without saying a word. You can worship. You can worship in your heart. You can worship with your mind. You can worship in silence, but you can't do that with praise. Praise is worship gone public. Praise is declaring your stand. That's what the psalmist meant in Psalm 34 when he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt and extol his name together." In other words, he says, get your praise on. When you magnify God, you can't make God bigger, but a magnifying glass doesn't make something bigger. It just shows you in a bigger way what's really there. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. He hangs out in praise when praise is coming from the right heart. Get your praise on even though your problem's not so. Praise God that he's bigger than corona. Praise God that he's bigger than your private coronas, however they may show up in your life. Praise him that he's greater than whatever the greatest challenge is in your life. It says, when God heard their praise, he set an ambush for the enemy. In football, when my son Jonathan was a fullback, a fullback's job is to run through the line and open up a hole in one of the gaps for the halfback. That's one of his main jobs. The quarterback receives the ball. The linemen at first are coming after the quarterback because the quarterback has the ball. But when the quarterback hands the ball off to the lineman, when the quarterback hands off the ball to the halfback, everybody shifts to go after the halfback now. Jonathan's job was to block them on the shift. You see, because you've shifted the problem to somebody else. Well, you may have the problem right now, but when you get your praise on, you've shifted it over to God. That's why when David was facing Goliath, he says in 1 Samuel 17, verses 26 and 36, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that challenges the armies of the living God? He shifted it over to God. He said, no, you're messing with God now. In other words, he made it a spiritual battle, not just a physical battle with Big Boy. And no, he said, Big Boy is big, but he ain't that big because I know somebody bigger. When you learn to shift your pain, your problem, your dilemma, your coronas over to God, now you have somebody bigger than the problem you face and the problem that the medical environment faces that's worldwide. It's time to shift that thing over. It's time to give that thing over. The Bible says in your praise, Psalm 50 verse 23, is your deliverance. that God will deliver you in your praise. You say, but my problem has not been solved yet. I know your problem hasn't been solved yet. Get your praise on. What am I praising for when my problem hasn't been solved? I'm praising for the God who can solve it. I'm praising that it's not so big that it's bigger than him. I'm praising him for what I've seen him do in the Bible. See, that's why you have to know the word of God, because you need to know what he did yesterday to remind you what he can do today. That's why all through the Bible, it rehearses God delivering from Egypt. It rehearses God delivering through the Red Sea. Why? To show them when they ran into their next Pharaoh, when they ran into their next army, when they ran into their next dilemma, that same God can handle it because he's already handled it before. The problem is, if you don't have a history with God and you don't, haven't seen what he can do, then you won't be as energized to praise him right now because you don't have a history with him. Ah, but throughout the Bible, when folk got their praise on, God did something. If you don't believe me, ask Joshua. When they were walking around the wall of Jericho once a day for 7 days, for 6 days on the seventh day, seven times, and they were letting out a shout. You know what that shout was? That wasn't just noise. That's a shout of praise. What were they walking around? A thick problem. A wall that wouldn't fall and an enemy that wouldn't fold. But when they got their praise on, cracks started crumbling and rumbling started taking place. When they got their praise on, things began to collapse. The problem came to an end. If you don't believe that praise works, ask Paul and Silas in jail. They're in chains, they're in jail, but they got their praise on. And when they got their praise on, things started to shake. Things started to rumble, and they were delivered. They even did evangelism by leading the Philippian jailer to salvation. You see, when you get your praise on, it causes heaven to move so that earth shakes, so that the rumbling down here occurs because God is moving. Praise is not praise until it's expressed. When's the last time you've gotten your praise on? So in your fast, get your praise on. In your prayer, get your praise on. In your dilemma, celebrate God because he deserves your praise. Magnify, make a big deal about it. Again, Psalm 34 says, my fears looked up to him and they got calm. If you're nervous about Corona, if you're nervous about your economic situation, if you're scared about your job, tell your fears you want them to take a look at somebody else. Because as long as they're looking at you, they're going to control you. But tell your fears there's somebody, someplace else I want you to look, because there's somebody else that I want you to respond to. So the more fearful you get, the more enclosed you feel, get your praise on. I love in football when a football player makes a big play. He makes a really big play, and then he walks and he does this, particularly the defense. They'll do that. You know what they're saying to the crowd? Give it up. That means give it up, and that means make some noise. Now, did you see what I just did? Make some noise and celebrate with me. You can't hear what I say, but I want to hear what you have to say. Make some noise because of what you know I have done and can do. You know what they did? They gave it up. They gave up their praise. You will never know God is all you need until you discover God is all you have. Right now, God is all you have. So let's let him know. We know he's all we need because heaven can overrule earth. It's time for us to take communion together to remember our Lord in a special way. So let me give you a moment to get your cup or your juice or your cracker or your bread, and let's prepare to just commune together as we do regularly at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Jesus said, when you take communion, you proclaim my death till I come. That raises a question. Proclaiming it to who? Who's listening to this proclamation? And what exactly are we proclaiming? Well, you remember, on Good Friday, Jesus died. On Easter Sunday, he arose. But never forget what happened on Saturday. Scripture tells us he went and proclaimed victory in hell. He declared, I win. That means you and I win. we win because he won. Friday he died, Saturday he proclaimed victory, Sunday he got up. So why do you need to take communion? Because as you look at this new week with all the challenges that we're facing, I want you to claim victory. I want you to claim the victory that he proclaimed, because now guess what you can say? You can say, devil, you won't own me this week. Circumstances, you won't control me this week. Problems, you will not dictate to me this week. You may be there, but you're not going to win because I have Christ and I proclaim victory. Get anything out of your life that doesn't belong there. Tell the Lord you confess your sin. Name it to him, whatever it is that is not in keeping with the relationship he wants to have with you. And then proclaim victory. You can have a conversation with the devil. Why? Because Jesus Christ on the cross paid the price to be the boss. On Sunday, he demonstrated by the receipt of the resurrection, it was paid in full. On Saturday, he let the spiritual world know he wins. That means you and I win this upcoming week. The bread was broken for you and me to be winners and to be victorious. Let's eat together. Cup was shed for you and me to be winners this week and to tell the devil he has no power over us this week. Let's drink again. Thank you, Lord, that the devil has already lost because you told him that. We're going to build our lives around your victory. In Jesus' name.
It was a great experience this morning, being able to worship together. And even though the church is empty, we know that the body of Christ is totally full. It's a great experience and it was a great word, but I want to make sure that we all take that word and we use it this week in practical ways and applying it in our lives. Because my dad always told me that Sunday is just a little bit of what we really should be doing all week long. Can't wait to see you next week when we go live again at 10 a.m. at ocbfchurch.org, Facebook, and YouTube. So can't wait to see you.